Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. With the biggest stories of the day, it's the Big 3 at 3. Number 1.
With the 59th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Blake Fisher, tackle, Notre Dame.
I had nothing to do with this one, Clint. That was all Tyler. That's all Tyler. Tyler, what you
What's
did
that?
To Clint?
What's that?
What?
You know,
it's a 59th pick overall, man. Second pick the Texans took this
Clint
year.
Clint despises this pick. Hate it.
I really didn't do that to take a shot at you, bro. I just want our people to get up to date on the new Texans.
This is the one that digs up his
crawl.
Thanks. All right, we'll get to guys that maybe your favorite picks, but this is clearly one that you didn't like. When you saw this is the direction they went at 59, a premium pick with the tackle. Your thoughts. I remember what you texted me, but your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's a terrible pick. I mean, it's not about the kid.
Terrible.
No, yeah, it's not about the kid. I mean, I'm sure the kid may be great, and it may end up working out in 2 or 3 years. I mean, you've literally got two of the highest paid tackles in the game right now, and you've got them under control for multiple years. But I guess if you wanted to get out for some reason in two, you could. But I don't feel like the Texans are a team from a rock. I think they've done a hell of a job. Now, don't get me wrong. I just don't feel like they're a team that the two most premium picks you have in a draft this year are picks that are used on guys that, best case scenario, you make a run and everybody stays healthy. I think drafting guys that never touch the field for you are ultimately bad picks for me. Premium picks. Like, I just don't think the Texans are in a spot right now from a roster standpoint to look at their corner position, their safety position, their D-line position, their edge rusher position, their linebacker position, the tight end position, which they addressed, the running back position, the left guard position. You can argue even the center position, so let's just say interior line. Like, all of those places I could see where you need premium picks. Let's draft guys that can help you in those positions, not guys that, again, cross your fingers, things go according to plan, never touch the field, never help you win a ball game in 2024. I don't know. There's some teams, the Ravens, the Chiefs, maybe the Eagles, you know, a couple of the San Francisco 49ers, maybe some of those teams are at a spot where it's, hey, man, all we need is corner help. So once we get this guy, we're going to move on and we're just going to start drafting depth and safety nets. Cool. I just don't think the Texans are there. I don't like this pick at all.
Yeah, I think this is just one where we kind of see it differently. I think because of what they have, multiple second-round picks and at the time a third and multiple fours, they could afford to have a future pick, a pick for somebody that is going to be, I think in a year he is going to probably be the right tackle for this team, and a future pick. So I could get that. Now, I know it does suck right now because he's probably the hope, the plan, if everything goes well, is that he really never sees the field. unless he's been able to make field goal team or something like that. That's what the hope is. But I could get that and understand that. But boy, as soon as I heard that name, I said, oh boy, Clint gonna be smoking hot about this.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me. I mean, you're like
second best. He's not even the best tackle for Notre Dame.
I mean, for you to move on from Laramie or Titus in the next year, they're gonna have to play terrible.
Or it could be a tough decision in which
a guy's gonna have to practice really, really well to convince you he's better than those two guys. But yeah, you know, hey, look, Titus has been injury prone. I mean, you can argue he's been injury prone, has a hard time staying healthy. If something happens again, you got an out after one more year. You can move on from him. If this guy's worth the flip, then maybe that's the thinking there. But I still don't like it. I would have felt better if it was a third. I would have felt better if you'd have used it to move up and draft somebody that is a plug and play starter. I would have preferred you draft a running back that can do some different things than the guys than Damian Pierce and Damian Pierce ain't even in the conversation, being honest, that can do some things a little different than Joe Mixon, who's going to be your bell cow back. I would have rather you have done that. I don't even like the thought of, truth be told, of running. But I can at least I don't have to agree with it. I can at least see the method of the madness is you're getting another weapon. You're getting CJ another weapon that can go do X, Y, and Z, and you don't feel real comfortable about the guys you have in camp right now, on the roster right now, that could do that. That's where my mind's at with this team right now. I still think you are weapons away, if you will, from like proving that you are a true contender in the AFC. And I don't like the thought of wasting draft. Look, I'm sure the kid's great. I mean, I'm sure everybody had him slated as a second round tackle, and this was a tackle heavy draft, which means if he probably could have even been a fringe first rounder on a normal year. But I don't like it for the Houston Texans.
I will tell you my favorite pick, and I'm sure you have one. My favorite pick is the Cade Stover, the tight end, Ohio State. It was probably the first one where I was like, oh, I'm really intrigued by what this could be. The other ones were like, okay, could be solid. We'll see what they do when we see how they play them. But this one was, yes, a bit of a project, but you can see the physicality that he brings. We talked about it. They just don't have a physical tight end right now. And we'll see what Quentin or Tegan Quatoriano does. But they don't have a real physical tight end at this point. This cat is physical. He said it himself. I heard him on with Sean. I'm a throwback. He said that himself. Yeah. And watching him, I saw him with CJN last year with Ohio State. There's something there. There's some wiggle. He gets open. He's a really big target. And he's physical at the point of attack. So that one, probably of all the picks, that one excited me the most is the kid from Ohio State. Obviously, he has a good relationship with CJ. But that one is the one where I said, I was like, well, I like that one.
I'm right. I'm in lockstep with you. I think what he brings to the table right now is a guy that is going to get serious run from jump. Like, I think he's going to be thrown in the mix with Dalton Schultz and in their 12 personnel type stuff where it's a true hand in the dirt type of tight end. I think he'll be the second tight end in the game, which means you're a starter if they start the game in 12 personnel, which is one back, two tight ends. I think now with this happening, assuming that his technique, and he's only been playing tight end for 2 years, but assuming his technique can catch up and he can at least not be a problem when he is in the game, whether it's a run play or a pass play, I would believe that Brevin Jordan, again, I like him more as that hybrid type type fullback, tight end type guy anyway. So that's the guy to me that as a fan, we're probably going to see sooner rather than later.
I think he's going to find himself in a lot of the run games.
Yep. Yep.
So I like him. That was, to me, a priority that I think they didn't solve during free agency and was hoping they would find somebody that could give them that. And I like this pick a lot. My favorite pick of the draft.
Big 3 at 3. Number 2.
All right. Before we slide here into the Astros, sorry about this, Tyler. This is on me. Before we slide into the Astros, did want to give an update. Wasn't going to go too far into this because we don't have all the understanding of it. But the latest update, Sheriff, about an hour ago with the Tank Dell situation. Texans wide receiver Tank Dell was a victim, an innocent bystander at a club shooting in Stanford, Florida this weekend, per Seminole County Sheriff Dennis M. Lima says. As you can see, there was a video made there. Dell was in between the two shooters when shots were fired. The sheriff says they were working with Dell to gain more information about the shooting. What we do know is that from the Tank Dell situation, that he appears and sounds to be all right, you know, in terms of health and everything, and that these were minor injuries that he suffered. And thank God, from the 10 people that were injured, most were minor injuries there. So just an update there on the Tank Dell situation. As I know many people, when you saw that headline, that was a really scary, scary headline.
Yeah, I got the text and I was like, wait, what? Yeah. I mean, it's look, man, it can happen anywhere, anytime. Don't matter whether it's noon on a Sunday or midnight on a Saturday, man. It can happen anywhere, anytime. And you just gotta be careful, man. You gotta be careful. We've all been there. We've all been out and about. Hell, ain't nobody random streets harder than I did when I, especially at this point, at that point in my career. But you gotta be careful, man. Thankfully, he's okay. From the sounds of it, I hadn't seen the video. From the sounds of it, it could have been a whole lot worse. And yeah. So, thankfully, yeah, he's okay. And you know, we can move on from this.
Yeah. So that's the latest there. Anything else updated? We'll get to. All right, the Astros, they were in Mexico City this weekend, and they sweep the Rockies behind Blanco and Framber Valdez, each of them getting wins. And, Clint, you said you thought there was a chance we could see rock bottom. If this thing would have swung left, I may have had to throw that towel in. That might have been it on the season. But the offense comes alive, but more importantly, Blanco and Framber Valdez, and Framber coming back in his first start since the injury, they give you 10 2/3 innings, 14 strikeouts, 2 walks over that time, and 4 earned. Both games, they each allow 2 earned runs, and were able to be the catalyst for them to get a W. This was big for the Astros over the weekend, Clint, because they found themselves losing to teams like the Rockies when they gotta have it, and we're moving to gotta have it territory, that would have been a damn shame.
Yeah, look, big wins, convincing wins in a moment where you were standing on rock bottom. You may not have fell flat on your face on that damn thing, but your feet was touching. That's for damn sure. And they needed this win. See if this doesn't carry this momentum doesn't carry them into a little bit of a streak here that can. We're in that. Hey, let's just get it. Let's just get it within 10 points midway through the fourth. Let's just get it within, you know what I mean? Like in basketball, when you just get buried by 20 or 30 and a half, it's like, okay.
Let's just
midway through the fourth, let's get it to single
do
digits.
That? I do that.
Oh, yeah.
I have times in my mind.
Yes, absolutely. Let's get it to single digits with 5 minutes to go. I mean, that's where the Astros are at. Can you go on a run here to just get out of the basement, to get off of rock bottom, and get all that funk off of you and get to moving in the right direction? You got the horses. They've got the horses, especially as people start to get healthy. They've got the horses to rattle off a hell of a run. It's just a matter of Colorado don't mean nothing unless you use it as a catapult.
You're right.
And unless it doesn't just catapult you into a run, those 2 victories in Mexico City mean absolutely nothing.
And, well, they get a day off again. This is 3 days off here in the past week. And then they play what has been the best team in the American League, the Cleveland Guardians. They come into town, and Verlander gets the ball tomorrow, and this will be a big series. Like, if they can win this series, then I think you can maybe start talking seriously about, all right, Mexico City was a turn. But they've got me twice this year, Clint. They've got me with big W's twice this year. I thought maybe it was going to be a turnaround that day they saved, not Spencer, but Blair. Blair Henley. When they say Blair Henley and he gave up 5 in the first inning and they came back and won that game, I thought, all right, here they go. That did not happen. So that is it. They've got to now take this and keep pushing with this. They got Cleveland coming up starting tomorrow.
Big three at three. Number three.
All right, here in the state of Texas, this is a, I don't know if it's a surprise. I don't know that I thought this was going to happen again, but Ezekiel Elliott, he reunites with the Dallas Cowboys. They didn't really get a lot of running back in the draft, which many people thought they were going to go early and get. A lot of people had Brooks from Texas mocked to them or Benson from Florida State mocked to them. They went in other directions, and they bring back Zeke Elliott. Who's the starter there? Who is he the starter currently? Is
I think currently he's got to be, right?
Oh, hell.
I mean, the only they still have the kid out of, what was he, out of South Carolina?
I know what you're talking about. He was kind of the change of pace to Pollard last year.
Yeah, I got to think that Zeke's going to be the starter.
Listen, I haven't had a huge issue with what Dallas has done in the offseason. I think it's just really been made a big issue because Jerry opened up his mouth and said they're going all in.
Right.
But I thought they would make running back a priority here. I thought within the first two rounds they were going to get one of those top two backs or even top three backs. That is not a direction.
Did you hear the it was a podcast with Derrick Henry? Said Dallas never even called him. Wasn't even interested. He was like, man, it would have been awesome to play in Dallas.
They never called me.
Jerry's going all in though, boys.
Yeah, Rico Dowdle was the one, and then Deuce Vaughn.
Neither one of those are starting backs. And neither is Zeke.
Glory hole.
Zeke slotted in as a starter immediately.
He's gotta be. Yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, Zeke was rolling in Dak's rookie year. How long ago was that? God Almighty. All right.
I mean, that offensive line he ran behind back in the day is a lot different too.
Yeah.
A lot different.
All right, coming up, we'll continue with the draft. There are two things that surprised me in this draft for the Texans. Two things that really surprised me. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
I really appreciate some of the things I'm seeing here from people on YouTube and Twitch and the text line saying, Ron, I never thought you were close to 40.
I thought you had at least a few more years, man.
That's a damn shame. You too. I've been talking about it.
You were closer to 40 when I met you.
Now that's a damn good point.
It's not true. It's no. I was. It's not.
I'm just telling you, man.
I felt like you
were 35.
But thinking back, I would have guessed you were closer to 40 then.
No,
I'm gonna be honest.
So you didn't shut up, man.
It's a good thing. You're in a good place.
Look, there, Tyler. Let's be honest here. Let's just pull the curtain all the way back.
Pull that carpet back, bro.
What the hell are you about to say?
I mean, the polo shirt you had on was closer to 40.
Mm-hmm.
The hairline. The
hairline's what I thought of first.
Receding hairline.
The green button-up polo shirt. Oh, that was close.
That with the hairline.
He had to think back to what exactly he had on. You hear him? Yeah. Hey, the hairline, which has somehow, I mean.
It was looking 45.
I mean, it's gone reverse. Like, you're in your 20s hairline-wise.
Which is badass, man. Good job.
I mean, the obvious, you're 122 pounds heavier.
Yep.
I don't recall. Did you have a haircut when you came down here?
Yes.
I don't think.
Well, with the hair he had.
I don't think it was brand. I don't think it was a clean haircut. I don't think it was a new haircut.
Of course it was.
It was. It was just the hairline, man.
That's why I'm thinking. I'm like,
it was a low cut. You think I came down here and Caleb Williams did? You think I came down here and didn't get a cut?
I'm pretty observant of like.
Damn, Dan Boyd is rolling around in his living
room. I'm pretty observant with like hair, with like, hey, my man was clean.
It was low.
No, we had a cut.
I just to keep it like Kobe.
I just don't know if it was a fresh line. I don't know if it was lined up.
It was definitely fresh.
It didn't look as fresh because of the hairline.
Maybe the beard. Maybe he was letting the beard kind of scraggly. There was something that's.
Telling you, like it's just right the hairline.
Now, you are definitely. I mean, there's a lot. If I think a little bit more, I could probably go a longer list here. I got three very, very strong, you were closer to 40 when I met you takes. I mean, you have, I mean, it's unbelievable. The hairline's unbelievable. The weight loss, unbelievable.
Okay, the hairline, we get it. Text Dan, how did you fix the hairline? Let us know. I didn't do anything.
So he says.
It's got to be some secret.
So he's not real comfortable.
You think I would have done something and not gotten money for it?
When he needs a little assistance, he's not real eager.
I would tell you.
The glasses?
Shout out to the
fade glasses right there.
I mean, listen, frame, this is just natural.
Upgrade. The glasses you had on were closer to 40 than when I met you. Fashioned out, man.
You've just really improved your overall appearance since you've been here.
Just telling you, man.
Wow.
I'm proud of you, man.
It's a good thing, dude. You're killing it.
So you're saying you met me, thought, well, that guy's 41.
I thought you were closer to my age.
I probably would have guessed like mid-40s.
Oh, you're dead serious.
No, I knew you were younger than me. Hell, I was.
When I found out how close you were to my age,
he's got a foe in there. He's got a foe.
Yeah, he's got to be knocking on 40. I don't know when we met. That day, hell, I was only 4. I was 42.
How old are you? You
46.
46. Yeah, you got me by 6 years. This fool Tyler up here talking about. I couldn't believe Tyler said, "Hold on, what? You're 40." You're about to turn 40?
I swore you were 37 or 38.
You just told me earlier you thought I was 36.
I've been consistent, saying mid to late 30s. But I thought you were at least 2 years away, 2-3 years away.
Oh, my God.
This is big. Well, what are we going to do for it? I guess it's going to wait till you get back.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Good times, baby. NYC, here I come.
I told you, my 40s is when I knew my father-in-law was like, all right with me. He was all right with that 13-year age gap.
That's when he was all right?
My wife threw me a 40th birthday. I had friends from Boston come. He's surprised nothing about it. I just walked in. I walked in this tequila bar, room rented upstairs. I was like, damn, my boys from Arkansas, my boys from Boston, a couple of my boys from Dallas.
Damn.
I mean, there was about 40 people there. It was live. I looked over in the corner. Oh, Paris was there. I think midnight. And if you know my father-in-law.
What's his normal time?
Nine-ish? Let me tell you what. He is snoring. Like a freight train by the time the sun goes down, typically. And on the weekends, if he makes it past 10 o'clock, boy, you have accomplished something. And when I looked over there and old Paris was still up, he was still up and out in Houston, I said, oh, okay. Oh, father-in-law. Father-in-law is all right with me.
Ron, what have you been using for that hairline? Could use some assistance myself. I have not done anything.
Whatever you use, just give me their number. Let me call them and get you a deal so you'll talk about it.
It's not a use of anything.
I don't know.
All right. Harold started I got Harold removed, and I couldn't get a haircut.
All joking aside, Harold, people out there don't know, Harold was a growth he had on the back of his head, usually where a bald spot starts for most 40-year-olds, right?
It's frightening.
Right, where a bald spot. And Harold just kept growing, and Ron kept picking on him. I really believe this. I believe all the blood and nutrients that were flowing to your scalp were going to Harold. And when you had Harold removed, he quit sucking your scalp of all the nutrients, and now it's evenly scattered out. And so your hairline's back. I think it was Harold's fault.
Harold was taking all them vitamins.
I think Harold was like just sucking your scalp dry, man.
My hair was the decision time prior to Harold. No, I'm not going to lie. Even though you all thought I was 46, I at 30, right before I, around time, about 6 months before I moved here, I said it was a good run. I had given myself, I saw where it was heading. I kept it low, started doing the Kobe cut real low. I thought, hey, man, I got 12 to 18 months tops. Starting to get in here. I told you that story that time. I told Courtney, you tell me. Whenever it happens, you tell me. So I'm not sitting here looking out here like some fool's in here trying to work up a lineup. And I had done TV for the local CBS affiliate. And she had that thing on pause when I got home. And that whole left side was darting up. Like, you know, I didn't want to have to be on the bench like LeBron to always have to have a brush to do it. And at that point, I said, well, all right, we got to just keep it low now. We got to keep it low. And then the Harold situation happened. And then my barber, B, started lining me. He said, well, here, he said, at least let me just line it up. And he lined it up. And I remember, I got that picture, the first one. The first time when it was long. And I said, well, this is coming in a little thicker.
Coming
in,
change the game.
What is going on here? And, I mean, he's working miracles out there. I'm telling you.
Hey, Tyler, could you imagine? Oh, Ron comes in feeling 10 feet tall.
I feel good, man. I had three segments. I feel good about that.
He did a little TV, boy, come strutting through that damn wall. Could you see Courtney sitting there with
on pause.
Look, she got the Crown Royal out. She done poured them both one. Got TV on pause.
Yeah, changed diapers.
Hey, here you go, honey. I got these kids to be. I mean, you need to have a talk. I'm sorry. You told me to tell you. This here? This ain't it. This right here ain't it.
Hey, and you know, as she went to bed, I stood there. I went back and forth repeatedly, pausing it.
Saying it ain't true.
No, I'm pausing it to really look at it. Like, I got a mirror. I'm looking at it at the same time. Like, is this what I'm seeing? Like, if I just brushed it down, I'm getting all kind of angles as it turns away. I'm like, well, maybe farther away. Like, good God almighty, what happened? What happened?
At TV, man. At TV, it'll turn.
Hey, nah,
man,
that wasn't at TV. It was me.
I know, but no, that damn TV, though, boy. If you got any kind of problem, you got anything that's not working.
It's
right,
gonna show up.
Oh, you got anything that you just don't feel 100% confident about, boy? Turn that. Get on that TV. Turn that thing on, and it's gonna just. I mean, time to have a come to Jesus meeting, baby.
It changed lives. I was rolling with the short.
Well, you think something's clean as hell, boy. Clean as hell. I got me a nice beard. This thing clean as hell, boy.
It was getting tricky right there.
That's crazy.
It was getting tricky right there.
Send that to Tyler, man. That old beat-up ass hairline you got right there. Now you got that thing nice. Golly. It looked like Bear been chewing on your head at night or something, right? On your hairline at night or something, I mean,
This a-hole is rolling, ain't he?
I mean, that's nice. Golly. That's what my friendship does, Tyler. Our friendship, man, got his hair growing back.
Glad we could help you out.
And that dude do look like he's about 41 right there. Don't
hey, man.
Trying to keep no with doubt. That green tie, ain't he?
Yep, ain't no doubt.
All right, we will. There are a couple of things that did surprise me. Sorry. There are a couple of things that did surprise me in this draft. We'll get into that. And I got some high, and there should be some high expectations from a player, especially if we look at what CJ did. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Did want to give an update real quick. Here is the Sheriff, Dennis Lima, giving the latest update on Tank Dell's situation, who was shot over the weekend. Minor injuries has been reported in Florida. Here is the Sheriff with the latest update there with Tank Dell.
Let me show where Tank Dell, Nathaniel Dell, is obviously a third round 2023 draft pick, 69th overall from the Houston Texans, somebody who was a star athlete in the Daytona Beach area, known to a lot of people there. He is standing literally between the firearm altercation. The video shows that he's walking. His report, because he is a victim in this case, he has been injured as a result of this. His report was that he saw this, or actually he saw what was going on. He took his cell phone out, had the cell phone in his hand, but you can see the position that he's in. He's right in the middle of this firearm altercation. And again, we will continue to work with him as a victim in this particular case.
All right, so that is the latest there. I thought he was going to give him his statistics from last year. The way he broke that down early, I'm sorry. That caught me off guard.
That old boy must have been a fan of the NFL draft. Did you hear that?
Yes. When he said the 69th pick, I said, my man has gone through his whole deal there. Third round pick, Nathaniel Dell, third round. I didn't think that was going to keep going there. But that is the latest there, as we said earlier. The best news that could come out of that with him. No updates since the report of minor injuries, but if we do get any updates with him, we will certainly go ahead and give you the latest on that. So that is there with Tank Dell. All right, a couple of things that surprised me with the draft, Clint. I'm wondering where you are on this. I would say the number one thing that shocked me is that Nick, D'Amico, the crew there, Clint, especially the way the draft board shook out, I'm surprised that they sat still with picks 42 and 59. Like, I am genuinely floored that they didn't make a move up to get somebody, because one is just, this is just something they have done a lot. I mean, if you could just think about some of the picks, a lot of them are picks that they've moved up to get, from Nico to John Mechie to obviously Will Anderson, the big one, right? They've made a lot of moves in the draft to get up, to go get guys. Juice Scruggs, Tank Dell, others, they traded up in the draft to get. And the way it was shaken out, I am genuinely surprised that they stayed at 42 and 59, Clint.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, man. For me personally, I'm sitting there and I'm watching the way – I love the way the first round shaped up for them. I love the way that it pushed some guys with some first round grades, for what it's worth, down into that early second round. And then there was a run on wide receivers, I believe, and it started pushing some guys down. There's a run on some D tackles maybe. Or actually, that's where it started. I'm sorry. It pushed all of them down. About 38, pick number 38 is where, boy, I got good and excited. Right now, you've got Brandon Fisk, one of my, I guess, more favorite defensive tackles that I thought could potentially get to them on the draft board. At that point in time, Tavondre Sweat was still on the University of Texas, a big kid out of the University of Texas. D-line was still on the board. Cooper DeJean was still on the board. Kool-Aid McKinstry was still on the board. And I thought, okay, now we're in reach. Now if Nick or D'Amico wanted to jump and move up and take one of those guys, they could. And I'll be honest with you, at that point in time, I thought, hell.
You might not have to.
Unless the next three picks just fly off the board in order, they're going to have a chance to get one of these guys that I think are going to be plug-and-play starters and contributors in a big, big way immediately. And
it's the same thing that a lot of people were thinking too, because they all came up and jumped the Texans.
Well, the Titans take Sweat, the Rams jump up and take Brandon Fisk, the other defensive tackle. The Eagles jump up and take Cooper DeJean. The Saints jump up and take Kool-Aid McKinstry. And I thought, well, that happened fast.
Those last three were trades, right?
Yes,
trade up.
Yes, I know the last two were for sure. I'm not sure if the Rams were, but the last two were for damn sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I thought, oh wow, it just. Like, the only thing that what I hope didn't happen right in front of the Texans pick, and then Kamari Lassiter popped, and I was like, okay, let's do a little dig and see what this kid's all about.
Yeah, to me, now he eventually did make a move to go up to get Bullock safety and trade it. But I just, for me, when you looked at the ammo he had and the Texans had, I was a bit surprised that they – that they didn't move up and that they said, because we talked about it Friday. Like, you thought maybe they sit pretty with that 42, but at least 59 they may jump up. I thought they might jump up with 42 to go get, you know, whatever they needed, because they had plenty. Those two picks, a third and two fourths. So that well, was
we were just a little early, because that third rounder is where I thought he may use one of the fourth round picks and pair it with that second round pick and move up in the second round a little bit.
Because that's what the Saints did. They gave up a fourth. They gave, obviously, their second. Flip-flop second.
Right, right.
And then gave up a fourth and I think like a sixth.
Yeah.
To get up there to get Kool-Aid.
Well, they clearly, we were just a little bit early, because they used one of those fourth round picks to advance their third round pick, which ended up being Kalen Bullock out of USC, safety out of USC. So they did make a move. They did get jumpy. They did get froggy. They did jump. They just did it a little bit later than we expected.
And another thing for me, Clint, is I think they clearly showed where they are at the defensive tackle spot, at least where they feel they are. I am also surprised that they didn't really attack that position until the seventh round.
Yeah.
And when you draft a seventh round defensive tackle, I mean, that's not really anybody. I mean, that guy might not make the team. That feels more practice squad-ish than to think somebody is going to add to that team. So, like, clearly, you know, either they couldn't get the guy they wanted, or they feel somewhat confident in what they have in the interior. Because, all right, yeah, some people can get cut, and there may be some guys that you know, don't make teams and that they could pick up.
Yeah.
But, like, that is something you can't really control. I was a bit surprised that defensive tackle with those picks. You'd have told me, all right, the top four picks, they're four top picks. I would have guessed that defensive tackle would have been in that top four. So I'm surprised they didn't really address that.
I am to a certain extent, Ron, with that first second round pick. Like, I think D'Amico and Nick, which they've all but told us, like, I think they are fine with the rotational pieces in that interior defensive line.
No, clearly, yeah.
And I think once you got beyond the Fisk kid that went three picks before Kwame Lassiter, I think to me, and look, I'm no draft analyst. I just, to me, that was the last. Newton and Fisk were the two on the board in that second round that the Texans could have flirted with, that I think could have been, okay, these guys at some point in 2024 are going to be upgrades over what you have. At some point, these guys, like four picks before the Texans, when the Titans took Tavondre Sweat, and look, I know Tavondre Sweat's maybe not a fit in this four down, the 4-3 that D'Amico has. I get it. Forget that. Put that to the side. The minute he was drafted, the draft analyst immediately started talking about Tavondre Sweat next to Simmons in Tennessee is going to be a problem. Like, that's going to be those guys together are going to be a handful. Immediately, right? And that guy went three picks before the Texans drafted at Kwame Lassiter. God dang it. Kamari Lassiter.
Never going to happen again is what he said.
Never's a long time, y'all. I lasted an hour. Lasted longer than Ron.
It was certain it's the first time you had to say it.
Oh, man. But yeah, like that. That's what I was hoping for, was you draft a guy in that D-line area and you go, okay, that guy's going to be a monster next to Will Anderson, next to Danielle Hunter. That guy's going to be a monster. And I don't know that was going to end up being available, but boy, I know it was close enough to get me excited when Sweat, Newton and Fisk were all there within, I'd say, 10 picks of 8 picks of the Texans.
Yeah, and I think, to me, clearly, they feel comfortable with that, right? Because you don't, like, your plan is, if you don't feel comfortable with it, you don't bypass free agency, the draft, or at least the back end of free agency, the draft, to just say, all right, we're going to wait and see who gets released.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough way to live, man.
So clearly, they, you know, D'Amico and company feel good about it. They feel good, or at least good enough right now.
I think D'Amico feels like I think they feel like they can win with it. I don't know if they feel good about it. They can't convince me of that. I think, look,
it's doable.
I mean, D'Amico overcame. I mean, 82 defensive backs getting hurt last year. I mean, they're schematically, there's nobody. I don't know if there's anybody better in the game schematically covering up deficiencies and overcompensating for guys for weaknesses in compensating for weaknesses in the defense kind of deal. Like, I think D'Amico has got that nailed. I think he feels like he can win with what they have. I think in order to be a better defensive front than what they were last year, I think they're going to have some guys play well above what we've seen them do to date.
Yep.
I'm talking about the interior guys. I'm not talking about Hunter, and I'm talking about Will Anderson.
Yeah, YouTube and Twitch, Autry next to Will Anderson is going to be a monster.
In passing situations, I think you are exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
I think you are exactly right.
That other side, huh?
It's that run. It's that run when Baltimore comes, since they've added Big Boy. When Indy comes and they got 245, 250, then come out downhill at you at quarterback, and they got a running back that went for $180 on you last year. It's those kind of teams that I go, can you stop that bleeding when it happens? Yep. Maybe not. Maybe the plan is, hey, if we can't stop the bleeding, CJ Stroud can outscore them. Maybe. That's clearly their thought offensively is we're gonna have some firepower.
Potentially a route that they may go. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
All right, the Texans drafted Kamari Lassiter, defensive back out of Georgia.
Good job.
Yeah, I did it. I got it written right here. Won't happen again. Won't make the mistake again. Not Kwame, Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia. Nick Caserio spoke about him, and his college head coach had something to say that got me good. Really good and turned on about that draft pick by Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans. I'll have all that for you next right here on Sports Radio 610.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.